Imran Anwar is the president of Imran Anwar Incorporated in New York. He is also a well-known media expert on Southeast Asia, India, and Pakistan, and he's joining us now to talk about Indonesia. Hi, Imran.
George, good morning. How are you?
I am fine, sir. It's good to get a chance to talk to you about this. I was mentioning that, and it's clear that things are happening so fast around the world, and we've touched on this before, you and I, that very important areas that seem to have the spotlight not many weeks ago suddenly disappear as though everything is kind of resolved itself, and I know that's not true. Bring us up to date your assessment of current socio-economic political conditions in Indonesia, etc.
Well, basically, George, as you said, the situation is the same that exists on my desk at home, where all matters that I do not have time to handle go into piles of papers, and then 6 months later they don't really matter, because if you can't see them, they probably don't exist.
Right, that's right.
Unfortunately, that is not true, and that applies especially to bills and taxes and God knows what else. Indonesia is the same situation, where I think that the world's attention is diverted by various things. At this stage, obviously, there are important things that are also diverting our attention. The counter attack by the U.S. on supposedly terrorist camps, the actual threat of such terrorists striking the U.S. or other allies. These are very real threats and obviously need all the attention that they are getting.
Yeah.
The problem with issues like Indonesia is that since it's not in our own backyard here in the United States, it's very difficult for people to fathom the impact a meltdown of the Indonesian economy can have on our lives.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things that you and I as media people have to be cognizant of and try to keep our listeners and our readers aware of.
Well, it really was emphasized and driven home emphatically when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a year ago, we started having to worry about Thailand and who was worrying about Thailand. And then that kind of triggered the whole problem. It kind of started there and triggered what appeared to be the catalyst, at least, for the whole problem, the Asian meltdown. So in other words, sometimes, as far as the American psyche is concerned, what appear to be rather obscure areas of the world are the ones that you have to be keeping an eye on, and we do lose track of them often. And this one has disappeared out of the spotlight, so as far as American media is concerned, it's gone. But I am reading that they have had some make-or-break circumstances in Indonesia. One of them is they've gone after the banking situation, and a recent report indicates that they have closed three commercial banks, nationalized one, merged four state banks, offered matching funds, etc., etc. And some see this as a make or break, because they have about 55 banks that the government is dealing with, and it is widely regarded as a test, they say, of Indonesia's will to take and inflict pain to save the banking sector.
Absolutely. In Indonesia, as in many developing countries and countries in that region, big banks are either owned by the government or owned by people very well connected to the government. And Indonesia was no exception. The fact that they recognize that not only do they have a problem with the banking sector, but that they are willing to do something about it actually bodes well for the future of the country. Yes, it does mean a lot of pain will be inflicted, both socially among the masses, economically on the whole nation, and also politically on the well-connected people whose banks have been closed down. As you know, some of the very well-connected people's banks were the targets, because these are the people who mismanaged under the very eyes and noses of the government. So it bodes well, but yes, there will be some ramifications we have to consider.
What now? Of course, the tensions have been widely reported. I don't know if they're completely understood by the average American, but they've been widely reported, the tensions between ethnic Indonesians and ethnic Chinese of Indonesian citizenship, and just general social unrest aimed at a lot of things. Where is that? What's the level of social tension right now in Indonesia?
George, tension like that is par for the course in countries in that region. In the case of Indonesia, it happens to be a Muslim majority and a Chinese minority. But if it was a country like Pakistan, you could have the same tensions between local ethnic groups of the same colored skin, the same religion, the same background, and still, you know, have the same level of violence even.
Sure.
So,
well, we see that in Ireland, for example.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
And the tragedy of you, I guess this is the very nature of us humans, is we like to find somebody to blame for our problems, and it's easy to find a minority who happens to be doing better than we are. In some cases, the minorities may have a system in place where the money stays within their system rather than the whole economy. So who's to blame? I think both parties equally. But it's a problem that only time and a lot of education can resolve. And as we said, even in the Western European nations, that hasn't gone away.
Well, I think the key, though, is that it is the result of the systemic problems and the conditions there. And obviously, if things get better, that tensions resolve themselves and start to dissipate. If things are not getting better or start to get worse, or the people lose faith in the government and so on and so forth, then scapegoatism is very common everywhere in the world. So I think it probably is a good thermometer as to what the mood is with regard to assessing how well the government is moving forward and getting things cleared up.
George, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'd like to make two comments somewhat related to this, to what you just said. One is that how come nobody saw this crisis coming? This, unfortunately, is just another example of how, even though the public in the U.S. may become enamored with the stock market always going up and there being no end in sight, it is scary how policymakers, not just in Indonesia, but even in major organizations in the U.S. who are supposed to watch out for these things, will look at the Asian, the miracle, without knowing that it could possibly be an Asian bubble.
Absolutely. I told you, without going into it, I spoke with a very prominent gentleman who had written an extremely popular book on Asia, Mega Trends Asia, about 2 years ago. Very high on Asia. He's lived there all his life, 30 years, was a very prominent gentleman, etc. Not one place in that book does it talk about this possibility. And I asked if it didn't look like in some areas they were heating up a bit, and he was very confident that they would just handle it. But let me ask about something. You're absolutely right on that. Let me ask it before we were almost out of time. There was some concern recently. The IMF indicated that maybe some of the money they gave to Indonesia, they kind of lost track of where it went and into whose pocket. And now I'm seeing that some of the deals that Indonesia had been making with Singapore and Japan and some others have fallen through. Some ideas for guaranteeing exports and so on. Where does this leave Indonesia, and where do you know what how is this going to resolve itself over the next year or so? And briefly, because we're almost out of time.
George, when my bank sends me $200 extra by mistake, it takes them like 3 hours before they find the mistake. And when countries are given billions of dollars, they can't find it.
That's right.
I always find myself amazed by that. Basically, I think it's again an example of how tightly the whole situation has to be scrutinized, how closely the IMF and other organizations will have to work with countries like Indonesia, because that brings me to the second point, which I'll use to close our conversation, that if things are not improved in Indonesia, it will be easy for the Muslim Indonesian population to start sympathizing with what the groups in Afghanistan and consider the U.S. out to get Muslims in any way, shape, or form, whether through missile attacks or through economic attacks. And that is something that nobody has talked about and has not paid any attention to, and that is my fear.
Yeah, that is a very good point. Islamic societies all over the world, in many of them, are in a relatively poor economic condition, as are other societies. But that's a point, that it's in times of crisis, it is, we have just said, easy to stir up discontent and aim it at, and sometimes governments do it intentionally, aim it away from themselves, deflect it away, and that is that's a real hot point that I guess has to be considered. At the moment, that doesn't seem to be happening, but it's possible in Indonesia, you're saying.
Absolutely, and in other countries, but Indonesia would be a prime example of where something like that could happen. Even Turkey, for example, but Indonesia, and I feel we have that link we should talk about sometime.
We will, and thank you very much for joining us today, Imran.
My pleasure.
Imran Anwar, president of Imran Anwar Incorporated in New York.